This is a meditation for the Wednesday of Holy Week in the year 2020. After saying this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and declared, "Very truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he was speaking. One of his disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So while reclining next to Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." So when he had dipped the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. After he received the piece of bread, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, "Do quickly what you are going to do." Now, no one at the table knew why he had said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the common purse, Jesus was telling him, "Buy what we need for the festival," or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the piece of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once." This is John 13, verses 21 to 32. The Gospel set for today. So we move together with our Lord through the Holy Week. Every day is packed full with actions, sayings, meanings. A richer seam of gold it would be hard to mine. Judas resented the money being spent on the lavish perfumed oils that had been applied to the feet of Jesus by Mary, the sister of Lazarus. St. John, with his perceptive eye for detail and descriptive tendencies, has told us already that Judas stole from the common purse. His real interest was self-interest, and not the poor, despite his lavish protests. It's very annoying when, as happens in church so often, because we use discrete chunks of the scriptures. Chunk is an ugly word. In Greek, the technical word for this in biblical studies is pericope, that we find a passage beginning, "After saying this." After saying what? Don't keep us in the dark. The answer is simple. It is one that I have been using for all 37 years of my ordained life. Look at your Bible and see what immediately precedes any passage and what succeeds it. Context is everything in biblical reading. It's not the fault of the church that we have to jump straight in. It is our common fault that we don't look at our scriptures often enough. In fact, "after saying this," in this particular passage, is rather important. St. John tells us that Jesus had had supper with his followers just as the preparations were underway for the Passover. It was a rather holy Passover, if St. John is right, for in this particular year, Passover fell on what was also the Sabbath. This makes all the sense of St. John's timings and diary entries, which in fact are different by 24 hours from that of Matthew, Mark and Luke. So Jesus has a supper with his disciples. From the other three Gospels we know about this because Jesus says words familiar to all of us about the bread being his body and the wine being his blood. In shorthand, it's the Last Supper. St. John doesn't tell us these details. Instead, he tells us that Jesus washes the feet of his disciples amidst protests from St. Peter. Do you recall Mary, sister of Lazarus, anointing the feet of Jesus and drying them with her hair? Peter accedes, of course, after a stern rebuke from Jesus. After washing their feet, Jesus speaks to them of humility and the depth of the fellowship he shares with those who receive the bread with him. After saying this, so we have arrived at our gospel passage for today. Jesus speaks of betrayal, and the disciples begin to ask who it might be. Treachery within friendships is a cruel wound to inflict. How many times in life have each of us felt betrayed by someone in whom we had vested particular trust and shared confidences? It shocks us to the core, and often it takes time to recover. The disciples don't know who it is, but St. John's readers know, because earlier in chapter 11, in the home of Lazarus, and in chapter 13, John lays bare the person who will betray the Son of God. Playing the game with those who don't know, the other disciples, and those who do know, Jesus, and those of us who have read the story so far, St. John explains why the other disciples just don't seem to guess who it will be, and they still have no suspicions in their minds about why Iscariot leaves the meal. Was Judas a disappointed man because Jesus was not the Messiah that he wanted and expected? How many of us are disappointed because we don't get what we want from religion and faith or from the church? How many have dipped their bread in the cup and then walked away to inflict in our own way the wound inflicted by Judas? How many prefer the cash to any personal integrity? And so the questions can go on. The master gospel writer, John, does what he does best. All through his gospel we have contrasts. Contrasts of seeing and not seeing, understanding and misunderstanding, obfuscations and revelations, darkness and light. So in one short sentence, John sums up the end of this day and the end of the line for him and for Christ. And it was dark. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who in your tender love towards the human race sent your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, to take upon him our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross, grant that we may follow the example of his patience and humility, and also be made partakers of his resurrection. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.